chapter. Genesis, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. Genesis 12 and 1. We're going to begin reading here. The call that comes to Abram. Genesis 12 and 1. And the Lord had said, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. The title of my teaching tonight is From the Giving of the Promise to the Fulfillment Thereof. From the Giving of the Promise to the Fulfillment Thereof. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Thank you for this worship. Thank you, O God, for all of our guests that are here. My Lord, we give you praise and honor. This event, O Lord, that happened almost 4 millennia ago is so real for us right now. Oh God, what's going on with Israel right now in the struggles over their border and over their land? Jesus, somehow in the spirit, the same things are taking place in our life. Oh God, make us to come alive under your word. Touch us. Help us, God, to get a grasp of what you want to tell us tonight, that we may have an end time apostolic revival. And everybody said amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand one more time. Tell them you're so glad to see them here tonight. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Now, I have preached upon this subject and topic that I read to you out of Genesis, the 12th chapter, but never in the area and journey that we're about to take in the Scripture. I want you to keep your Bibles open, please. And I want you to write in reference scriptures as we go through them one by one. Now, this gentleman by the name of Abram had received a call from God down in the Ur of Chaldees. Now, the Ur of Chaldees was a very civilized people at this time. They were not primitive. They had and lived in what we would consider a very modern world. And there were many things that have been discovered in the Ur of Chaldees, which are still used even unto day, out of which arose the great nation and city of Babylon, which became a very modern place. But within this confines and within this area, no one knew the Lord. And the Lord found him a man by the name of Abram, called him, and Abram began his journey, went up to the city of Haran, and there spent a number of years, buried his father, and then the call came strong again. I have a land for you. I wish for you to leave this behind, leave your countrymen behind, and begin this great adventurous journey. And so the Bible said that Abram did this, but he brought Lot with him. Now, I have ministered on this subject, but for all that do not remember or have not heard it, Abram considered the things of God, obeyed them only 50%. He got up and left the land of Haran, but he did not obey the Lord. He brought his blood kin, Lot, with him. Lot was the son of his brother, Abram's brother. He brought up Lot with him, and this was going to cause him a degree of consternation. It was going to be a prick in his side for a long time. Now, for any church or any individual to ever accomplish in God what God hath ordained, you must obey the word of God completely. Are you hearing me out now? Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Amen. If you love me, he said, you would keep my commandments. Now, Abram disobeyed the Lord in one part, in that he brought up Lot. And as long as Lot was to stay with him, Abram would never find a place to rest his head. This man would never receive the full promise of God. Matter of fact, when he came into the promised land, he built an altar and worshiped the Lord. But the Bible said he continued on in his journey and went down into Egypt. The reason why many people cannot live for God, and the reason why they have struggles, is because they're willing to obey God up to a degree. Now, let me tell you something. I'm talking to people that are born again of the water and the Spirit. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. You've received the Holy Ghost. According to John 3 and 5 and Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 10:44 through 45, and Acts 19:1 through 6, you have obeyed the Word of God commandments concerning salvation. But there are other points in our salvation to which we must obey God. When you continue reading after Acts 2:38, you will find Acts 2:39. They continued on steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The Bible said that the apostle Peter told them, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It's not just coming into the church, but it's staying in the church and claiming everything God has for you. Amen, amen. Please stay with me as I lay the foundation for this Bible study. But these prefacing remarks are going to be ultimately important as we get on into this Bible study. And so the Bible said he went down into Egypt. And then the Bible says, coming up out of Egypt. In Genesis, the 13th chapter, I would like for you to write there beside Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Then write Genesis 13 and 1. And the Bible said concerning Abram, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south, which was the southern region of the place that God was going to give unto Abram. Now, up to this point, he still hasn't learned his lesson. Oh, I don't know how you feel about God, but when God's trying to teach me something, I don't want to take a long time having to learn it. I don't want to continue in my confusion and in my delusion sometimes and just staggering around. I want to have a sure word from the Lord. Now, up to this time, he's only received a general word. God has not talked to him again yet. The Lord has just left him alone to do what he's going to do. But then, here's what happens. If you will write now, verse number 7. Verse 7, if you will look in your Bible, said, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. Now, I want you to circle this, please, and underline the word strife. The Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. There's some battle that goes on until we settle some things in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? I want you to notice, Abram's fight here, the strife was going on with Lot. But it wasn't just Lot. Because of all of this distraction, the Bible said, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. We cannot overcome and do what God has called us to do as long as we're distracted. The enemy is going to remain lodged. I'm not talking about something in the natural and the physical. I'm talking about something in the spiritual. As long as we are distracted and we're in a struggle and we've not settled it with God, the enemy's going to remain right where he is. But oh, you let a man or a woman settle up some things between them and God. And you let a church get where it's supposed to be in God. And I promise you this, the Canaanite won't stay there much longer. The Perizzite won't be able to remain. When a church is full of the Holy Ghost and fire, things are going to begin to happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm talking to this church. We got to go somewhere in God. And we've got to get on with what God has for us. Amen. So there was a fight and there was a struggle. How do you settle this situation in your life and get to what God has promised? I want you to write there beside verse number 7. If you will write now verse number 11. Verse number 11. And we're going to begin to see what God is doing. In verse number 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated, underline the word separated. When you go from strife to separation, you're headed for revival. Come on now. When you underline the word strife in verse number 7, then underline the word separated in verse number 11. They separated themselves the one from the other. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, for God's people, be ye separate. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. God has called you and I unto a life that is separated. If we look like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, then the world doesn't need to change. The world will continue on to Sodom and Gomorrah. But oh, when we separate and there is a distinction, the world says, I'm living in Sodom. You have something I don't have. You got some things from God that I don't possess. Church, oil and water does not mix. The church is a light set on a hill. Amen. God has distinguished a difference between the world and His people. Now, I go back into the Old Testament for most of my messages, lead on over into the New Testament for a purpose. Most of my messages you will find will start in the Old Testament, end up in the New Testament. There's a reason for that. Because this didn't just begin with Jesus Christ being begotten of the Father. This is something that was established long before Bethlehem. This didn't just begin on the day of Pentecost. This is something that has been with us since the beginning of time. God has said, don't touch it lest you die. Don't go near it lest you die. Stay away from those things. Leave them alone. Don't eat of that fruit or it'll kill you. This has always been an established principle. Let me tell you something. You cannot begin to claim some things in God until you begin to disclaim some things. To be able to receive, there are some things you must reject. I want to establish in this church not only fine men and women who have come to this altar and given themselves to God, but I want men and women of God who have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beside verse 11, I want you to put verse 17 and verse 18. What is the consequence of this separation? It's a good consequence. I want you to see what begins to happen. Verse 17 and verse 18. Arise, he's talking to Abram. Walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, things are beginning to gel now. Things are beginning to come into place. I have a very dear friend who some ladies are mighty in prayer, and they meet together, and they pray, and they seek the Lord. They've subjected themselves to the pastor, and to the pastor's wife, and to the good word of God. You know what these women do in this town? They drive all over the town. Now, this isn't some radical Pentecostal church. This is just a good old apostolic church. They drive all over that town praying in the early morning. It'd be good if we had some men that would do that and some women that would do that. There comes a time where you gotta get up off of the couch. You got to push back from the supper table. And you got to say, now, Lord, there's some things you have promised me and you have promised this church. What are we waiting on? I'll tell you this, we're not waiting on God. Be assured of that. God is waiting on us. He's a God of the right now. He's a healer right now. He's a blesser right now. He's a God of revival right now. When you get tired of the strife, separate. And when you're separated, then start walking out what God has called for you to do. Amen. We see the Lord telling Abram in Haran a general location. Now, through the separation, we begin to see this thing begin to come together. Now, right beside verse 17 and 18, please write Genesis 15 and 1. I want you to see what begins to happen here. Now, I'm going to make some statements here. In this study, every time that I went to the places in the Scripture, which we are going to search out tonight, on purpose, every one of them that I looked into, there was something significant either happening right before, right during, or right after. There are around 6 different incidents where the Lord distinctly said, I've given this unto you. And when He does in the Scripture, you're going to find it surrounded by something of great importance. Now we're going to find this is the first time. I want you to write there beside Genesis 15 and 1. This is the first time when God, please write it however you want to write it. This is the first time when God distinctly tells Abram his inheritance. To put it out where you want to put it, but put it out there beside the side, out in the margin. This is the first time that something begins to happen in the life of Abraham. Genesis 15 and 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Would you underline that, please? I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, folks, when you have underlined that and written that in your own terms, I want you to look back up here. Here's the occurrence of where we're headed. Lot has been captured by approximately 5 kings. He has been taken into captivity. Abram hears this. He stirs himself up and goes forth to battle. The kings of Sodom, the city of Sodom, and the city of Gomorrah have been defeated. Abram takes his band and goes after approximately 5 kings, overtakes them and whips them. When he does this and the battle has broken and this man has withstood all of the powers in that hour that had come against him and his family, the Lord begins to visit him. Oh God, you got to get this tonight. Amen. Until you're ready to fight, I want you to know God will not reveal Himself fully to you. Folks, hear me. There are so many churches that are gathering together under the name of the Lord that are not willing, that are not ready to go forth to battle. I've watched you for a long time. You're comfortable now. You used to be full of zeal. You used to hit the prayer room. You used to really witness. But now you're comfortable on the pew. You're enjoying Bible study. How many of you come tell me that? And I love Bible study. And you're enjoying our services. But there is nothing that is being reproduced in your life. I'm going to tell you something. That's not the will of God. Let me tell you, Lot will die lost if he doesn't have an Abram who's willing to rise up and take on the enemy. He doesn't have the strength. He's too weak. He's not separated under God. Let me tell you something, friend. Your family doesn't have a chance. Your friends don't have a chance because of the environment they're living in. But you have the good word of God that is residing within you. And it's not God's will for them to go down lost. He could have said, well, you went to Sodom. Well, you gave up and went that direction. Oh, no. Abram rose up and said, that's part of my blood. And I'm going to go after it. I don't care how much trouble it's been to me. I don't care how much heartache it's cost me. I don't care what kind of a thorn in my side. I'm not willing to sit back and let Lot die. We will never know what God has for this church until we rise up and take on the prince of the air. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When you're going through things and you're in situations, don't get mad at the person. Get mad at the spirit behind it. Yes, Lot, he really did deserve to die. Yes, he really did. He was a selfish, self-centered, egomaniac. He didn't love God. He was only hanging on for the blessing. And the time came when they were separated. He could have been allowed to be destroyed. But Abram said, not as long as I'm living. Not as long as there's breath in my body. Not as long as I have strength. Folks, we're talking about a man over 75 years old. We're talking about a man that's drawing close to 100. We're talking about a man that's a husband of a wife that's almost 90. You talk about nursing home. You talk about a rocking chair. Let's go have a nursing home service. Abram's almost 100 years old. He's rocking the rest of his life away. Not on your life. Not with Abram, you're not. This man said, I have a call. And there is a reason that I'm going to rise up and go to... Is there not a cause? Folks, God's about to lay out the boundaries for Israel. That the fight is still going on today. But it started on the heels of the fight when a man made up his mind. Come on, sisters, don't sit there and look at me like that. Come on, brethren, please. I beg of you, yea, I encourage you, pick up the sword again. It's time to get some tracks. It's time to knock some doors. Oh, it's going to cost me something. You're right, it will. But you're going to get so much more back in return. Amen. I want you to notice here. Now, Abram was not a man, the Bible says, that staggers the promises of God. So you've got to take this in the context that it is. Right after this fight, Abram now considers his lot in life and realizes now, almost 25 years after the promise has been given, that he is without progeny. He has no son. And so he goes to the Lord. And there you have studied out the archaeological remains of that hour. This is the truth. I've read this in commentaries. Said it was a custom of the wealthy of that day to take into their home someone less fortunate and make them their heir if they were without child. It was the custom of that hour that if you had the means wherewithal to do it, then you would adopt, and that one would become your heir. Abram went to God after that fight. Be not weary in well doing. Be not weary in well doing. For you're going to reap if you faint not. God's got His seasons for you. This pastor is so stirred up. And I'm trying to stir up the church. Why won't you look up here at me? Why don't you listen to me? Why don't you hear me? This is not a message of guilt. This is not a message of shame. This is a message of command and direction. Don't be weary. Don't quit. Amen. I've been fighting so long and the promise hadn't come. So I'm going to take another route. Don't do that. God is able to finish that good work. Ooh, hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm tired of generalities. I'm ready now.
This church is getting ready. We got to have what God has told us we can have. We got to reach for it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I'm not going to go read all the scriptures. But he said, here, Lord, let Eliezer, my servant, let me have his son. This baby's crying in the camp. This will be your promise. This will take care of it. This will be the blessing. And God came and visited Abram and said, out of thine own body shall this promise come. God doesn't need somebody else to bless you. He can bless you all by yourself. These testimonies that people say, I'm getting slosh overs from my sister and my brother's blessing, that is not scriptural. God has something for you individually. And God said, I don't need any other man. I don't need any other circumstance. I can do it by myself. My promise stands. I want you to write there beside Genesis, the 15th chapter, the first verse. I want you to write the 18th verse. Because here it comes. Ooh, this is what the fight's all about right now. Oh, Allah don't like this. Allah hates this. But Allah's not God either. Allah's Lucifer. You don't like that, do you? Huh? You better get it straight, honey. Because you're going to hear a whole lot more of it in the world we're living in now. I'm telling you, there's a fight on right now. And Allah is not his name. His name is Jesus. He's not a Muslim. It's not Mohammed. It's not Buddha. It's not Hare Krishna. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo! Call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. This is what the struggle's all about right now. This is what the fight's over. Take your pen and circle this one, honey. Because you're going to put this in your mind forever. I want you to look at this, please. Genesis 15 and 18. In the same day, this is after he made a sacrifice, the dark night, the promise of God of the things that were to come. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant, underline covenant, the word covenant, with Abram, underline the word Abram. A covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Oh my, we're going to see it on down the line. This is from the Red Sea. And you'll see it in distinction as it goes on. Up to Mount Hermon. Hallelujah, which were the beginning waters that would flow down to the Jordan River and into the Dead Sea, on down into the south, all the way over to the Euphrates River. I want you to know God laid it out for them and said, from the Red Sea to Euphrates, from the top of Mount Hor, all the way down, or to Mount Hermon, all the way down to the south, I am settling it once and for all. This is your homeland. I don't care what Arafat says. It doesn't matter what they say in Syria. I don't care what Damascus is saying. They shouldn't give up the Golan Heights. They shouldn't give up Jerusalem. They shouldn't give up anything. And the fight is on. My God, have mercy. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. My God, may the church of the living God rise up in the Holy Ghost. The Lord has given us this earth. Come on, church, we're going to establish this here tonight. Whoa, there's some things you don't have to back up from. when hundreds and hundreds of years later, when they would come to the Red Sea, with the rolling of the chariots behind them, over 600 chariots, and all of Egypt, and they were at the Red Sea, and the Bible said they began to complain. Somebody should have stood up in the midst of that crowd and said, "Hey, why are you afraid? This is part of our future. Why be afraid? We're not going to die here. This is part of our own land. We're going to own this one day." Hallelujah. When they were standing at the Red Sea, the border that God had given Abram was all the way to the Red Sea. Friend, when you're in the fight, look that devil in the eye and say, "Don't you know we're going to rule as kings and as priests?" The kingdoms of the world shall become the kingdoms of Christ. And he said, "You're going to sit with me and my Father in the throne, and you're going to rule and reign with me. Joint heirs with Christ." Come on, some of you. What's your problem? You act like you won't climb under the pew. What you afraid of? You're standing in a place right now that is already promised to the kingdom of Christ. I'm not afraid of this city. I'm not afraid of the spirits in this city. Wherever you put your feet, there is a word from God. Church, don't you ever doubt it. There's something significant that's going on, that's been going on right now and soon to come for this church. Oh, God. It's time for you to rise. They shouldn't have been trembling at the Red Sea. That was their border that already been promised to Abram. They knew what the covenant with Abram was. Yet here they were shaking and trembling in a place they should have been praising. Can you say amen? Right there beside Genesis 15 and 18. Right there, Exodus 23, 31 and 33. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. And the most high. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Come on, why are we running away when we should be running too? Oh, God. Come on, men, it's time for you to start taking charge of your life. Come on, women. I'm tired of negative talking. I'm tired of the fears. I'm tired of the phobias. That's a bunch of hogwash. God ain't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. Amen. God didn't come to put us in disarray. The Bible said He put Egypt in disarray. You know what some of you need to do? You need to do what God spoke at the Red Sea. And when through Moses, Moses said, "You will never see Egypt again." You need to tell some of those spirits that you're playing around with, "I'm not going to see you again. I've had it with you." Whew. God's made me some promises. I got some boundaries. Friend, that didn't hem you in. That's to tell the devil, "You can't come in here. You can't touch this." That didn't keep you back. Can I make this statement? From Genesis, the 15th chapter and the 18th verse. 4,000 years ago, from the Red Sea to the Euphrates River, from Mount Hermon all the way down in the Arabian Desert. 4,000 years. It has never been fully conquered by Israel. That's right. King David didn't do it. Solomon didn't do it. You don't think I don't know what I'm talking about? I've studied this out. The Bible said of Solomon, who stretched the kingdom of Israel further than any man had ever stretched it. He took it to the border of Egypt. In the old historical maps and through the scripture, you'll find the border of Egypt at that time took in most of the desert. It did not go to the Red Sea. Not even Solomon. Not even David as a warrior. Not Solomon in all of his strength. Nobody ever took and conquered all the land. And I'm going to make you this promise too. You won't either in your flesh. You're not strong enough and you're not smart enough. You're not with me now. The Messiah is the one going to tell Allah, step back. Give up. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. There's only one way to get all the promises of God. It's in Jesus Christ. Come on, church. In Him is the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily, He's everything. He's all in all. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Which is, which was, and which is to come. My God, may this anointing get on the church of the living God. Will this church please arise in the anointing of the Holy Ghost and get what God has for you? You may be seated. My girl told me here a while back, one of these kind of services, Daddy, I didn't understand. Daddy, I like what I felt. But Daddy, it was too much for me. I couldn't understand it. So I sent my girl down and I went back over that message, which was along the line of what we're doing right now. And I took her back through it. Oh, now I see. Every mother and every dad ought to rehearse this in the ears of your children and see what Brother Clark was talking about. This is what the fight is in the Middle East right now. It's a fight on. My God, they're trying to box Israel in. Israel's going to end up running. They're going to head down to Petra just to save their life, which is down in the southwestern direction, down into the desert area, down below the Dead Sea. They're going to have to run just to save their life. But you and I don't have to run anywhere. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You need to tell your children what Israel's going through right now is what the church goes through. But we have Jesus, and the Lord is with us, and God has made us some promises. He'll be our healer. He'll be our deliverer. He'll be our Savior. He'll be a blessing. He'll be a doctor. He'll be a lawyer. He'll be the bread of life. He'll be the living water. He'll be the Friday morning star. He'll be the well that never runs dry. He'll be the river. But God, I'm about to explode. I'm ready for this church to explode into what God is putting in you. Rehearse it in the ears of your children. You may be seated. It'd be good for some of you saints to get this tape and listen to it over and over again. And say within your heart, of whom should I be afraid? The Lord before us. Who? Who? Who can be against us? Please. Exodus 23 and 31. Exodus 23
and 31. Now, I want to tell you what's going on here. Right as we get ready to read it. He's just giving them all the laws and the ordinances. He's putting the book in Moses' hand. God is establishing His Word. It's becoming written. It's not just oral tradition. It's taking on form now. It's something they can see with their eyes. It's the schoolmaster that's going to bring us unto Christ. And so the giving of the law is taking place. While all this is happening, right in the middle of all these tremendous events, here's what takes place. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, which is the Mediterranean, and from the desert unto the river, which is Euphrates. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land unto your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods, and they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Now hold on. Here's the giving of the book. My God, now comes the covenant and establishing it again. Look what happens here. Please, over in the 24th chapter. My Lord, have mercy. Look here at 24, Exodus 24 and 9. Look at the word of God. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. My God, church, did you just read that with me? They got the word. Hallelujah. They got the promise established again. And then they had a vision. They saw the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible said, no man has seen God at any time and lived. To look upon God was to die. But in the midst of all of this, God gave them a supernatural visitation of His glory. Ooh, it put something on them. And when it got on them, they started eating and drinking and celebrating and praising. It's time to shout. It's time to have a revival. Woo! My Lord! That vision of God was standing on a pavement made out of sapphire. Are you ready? There was a foundation upon which the vision could be seen of the glory of God. Sapphire, blue, as of the heavens. Hallelujah. You look at God, you're going to die. Oh, but if you look at Him on the right foundation, you're going to live. My God, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. This gospel, what we preach, is upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. If you don't see God on that foundation, you'll die. But if you can see Him according to the Word of God, you shall have eternal life. You must be. You've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Woo! And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody clap your hands. Somebody praise the Lord. If it's the right foundation, you're going to live. You're going to live. You're going to live. Woo!
Praise Him. I lost some of you there. Praise Him. You'll get it later. Praise Him. Hallelujah. You're going to worship God. You better worship Him in spirit and in truth. You may be seated. If you think I'm going to give up any of the boundaries that God has established for me through His Word and through the foundation of His truth, you're crazy. But some of you are. You're starting to compromise. You're starting to back away. You're getting weary. You're starting to give up. If you could see God, Moses and the 70 elders and the choice people of Israel looked upon God, and when they did, they saw Him standing on a foundation of sapphire. And they lived and didn't die. You know what they started doing? When they realized from the Red Sea to the Euphrates, from the headwaters of Jordan to the desert south of the Dead Sea, it is ours. Whew. And when they got a hold of that revelation, then they had a vision of God in His glory. My God, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you walk the streets of Round Rock, when you go through Pflugerville, when you go through Maynard, hallelujah, in South Austin, when you go through Leander, when you go through Cedar Park, when you go through these cities, when you go through Jonestown, my Lord, when you go through different springs, when you move through all of these cities, oh Lord, lift up your head, hold your shoulders back, and have a vision of the glory coming down. Woo! It's time to have a revival. From the giving of the promise to the fulfillment thereof. Anybody ready? Anybody ready? Anybody ready to start claiming? I'm through. I'm only about 60% through. I need to get the rest of these scriptures. But not yet. Anybody ready? Anybody ready? Anybody ready to start claiming your neighborhood and your home? And anybody ready? Anybody ready? Are there some young people here that are ready to have what God has promised? Are there some young men that are ready to see it fulfilled? David can't do it. Solomon can't do it. But Jesus can. Woo! I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Come on, clap your hands. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, saints. I'm so hungry. Come on, saints. I'm so hungry. Ooh. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Come on, church, we gotta press through. You gotta press through for your life. Oh, Jesus. I'm I want somebody to start claiming some things right now. I want you to lift your hands. Come on, church. I want you to lift your hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to start claiming some things. Come on, lift your hands. You know what the boundaries are. You know what the promises of God are. Lift your hands and start praying right now. Oh, oh God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, yes. 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 Come on, church. Come on, young men. I want you to pray. Come on, young ladies. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. I want you to pray. Oh, Jesus. Maybe we'll finish this another day. I don't know when. Maybe another day. Hallelujah. But right now, we're fixing to pray. Honey, we're fixing to pray. Somebody call on the name of Jesus. Somebody call on the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and call on His precious name. I'm opening up this altar right now. Anybody want something from God? Anybody ready to lay some claims on some things in your life? Not everybody's going to come. Don't you come unless you mean it. Don't you come unless you mean it. My God, my God. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Woo. I got a foundation. I got a foundation. I said, I got a foundation. I got a foundation. I said, I got a foundation. I said, I got a foundation.
On the walk. And
come on, everybody.
It's yours.
Every verse, every line, it's yours. God's promises to you. Come on, church. Father, you let it all, y'all know it, y'all know it. Come on, saints. Come on, church. Come on, church.
In the name of Jesus.
Put on a rock. Put on a rock. Put on a rock. Put on a rock. Put on a Why not? Come on, everybody, why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not?
Come on, everybody.
Put on the in my mind. Go out
sweep through my bitter
cup with
the devil.
There it is. Come on, there it is.
There it is.
Come on, everybody. Heal. Heal. Touch that back. Heal. By your stripes. Heal. Heal. Fire. We're about to know the under the fire. Fire. Holy Ghost. Fire. Fire. Come on, everybody.
Straight in the eye, I say, my foot's on a rock,
and my mind's made up.
top of your head, to the sole of your feet. Touch your back. Woo. Yes. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Come on, church. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Everybody praise Him. Everybody praise Him. Come on, church. It's revival time. I've got my foot on the rock. Get my mind made up. Oh, I won't do a lonely valley. Oh, I drink from a bitter cup. Free to the devil. I stand up, stand on my feet. I look him dead in the eye. I say my foot's on the rock. Get my mind made up. I've got my foot on the rock. Get my mind made up. Oh, I won't. A lonely valley. Oh, I'll drink from a bitter cup when the devil comes along. And showing me an easy way. I shall I swear on my feet. I'm looking dead in the eye. I say my foot on a rock and my mind. Well, the reason I'm in this church, I don't want to be lost. Well, the reason I'm in this church, well, I don't want to be lost. Well, the reason I'm in this church, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost when Jesus comes. The reason I live for joy, I don't want to be lost. The reason I live for joy, I don't want to be lost. The reason I live for joy, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost when Jesus comes. The reason I'm talking tongues, I don't want to be lost. The reason I'm talking tongues.
I don't want to be lost.